The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I always enjoy seeing Senator Hatch walk through the door of our KSL studios. Senator, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Well, I'm happy to be with you, Doug.
I always enjoy our conversations, and we were just chatting about some things off the air, things that are making news today. And there are so many things we want to talk about, balanced budget amendment, talking about reforming the tax code, the idea of the Texas federal judge that has put a stay on any executive orders that may or may not occur from President Obama regarding immigration. But we were just chatting off the air about ISIS, and this has been the buzz around KSL this morning. We keep wondering how – remember the old thing, how low can they go with the limbo?
How depraved can you go?
How depraved can they become, especially when you see a headline like this, the Iraqi envoy, ambassador to the United Nations – is asking for an investigation, fearing that ISIS might actually be harvesting organs. They're finding bodies now with surgical incisions, and they're missing body parts. How do we deal with people like this?
Well, these people are monsters. They're depraved. They don't seem to have any moral values whatsoever. It's hard for me to understand how young people can join up with them, because they're people who are just animals.
I think that's what is bothering so many of us. First of all, how organized they are, how they are growing, how well-funded they seem to be, and the fact that they are attracting people from our own shores. There is a recruitment video that is produced by ISIS that looks like it came out of an advertising agency, and it's featuring young Canadian people who are talking about, yeah, I was just hunting outside of Toronto and basically... It is flabbergasting.
Well, what amazes me is not only how they can get people like that to join up with them, but how they really are raising money that can sustain them, and how little the rest of the world is doing about it, and how little our administration is doing about it. Look, everybody knows that if our administration decided to put an end to that, we're the only country in the world that can put together a coalition of dozens and dozens of countries to come in there and help. And we don't have the leadership in the country right now to do that. And I'm not here to run down President Obama, but he really is not a very good leader. And he's allowing these travesties to continue. He won't even use the word Christian for the Christians that were beheaded. There's so many things that I could find fault with that it's frightening to me that we have somebody like that running the country at a time when these monsters are getting out of control. And look, they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger unless we stop them. And what does that take to stop them? A lot more than drones, a lot more than just aerial strikes, and those are infrequent. It's gonna have to be the bringing together almost everybody in the Arab world that disagrees with them, and almost every other country that really understands that this is a life-threatening situation, to come together and go after them. But the only country in the world that can put that coalition together is ours.
You do wonder what it would take. I guess I understand how some of those first heinous acts, it would be hard to zero in on them. But with the beginning of the track record we're seeing, and when they trot 21 people out and kneel them in the sand and brutally,
just because they're Christians,
and brutally behead them, and then you look at the other situations, and somewhere along the line you'd like to think that we have the will, that we have the technology, that we have the ability to start thwarting these things, but they seem to be acting almost unimpeded.
Well, we have a weak administration. Part of that's caused by the fact that many Democrats did not think, and some Republicans, by the way, did not think that President Bush did right by going into Iraq. Whether that's so or not, that's one of the reasons why this president is so adverse to ever getting involved in another war or another national security situation. And frankly, at the same time, we're devaluing our military to back to 1946, post-World War II status. And frankly, spending like mad on the domestic front, that it's really hard to keep under control.
As far as some of the, speaking of domestic, there was a ruling from a federal judge in Texas that basically derailed wherever the executive order is. I thought it was interesting within the judge's opinion. He said, you know, do not forget, an executive order has not been actually issued.
That's right.
And the, and we all kind of scratched our head because, boy, the clear impression has been left, and the statements from the administration have certainly led us all to believe that this was, in fact, happening. But whatever the process at whatever stage it is has been stayed now by this federal judge in Texas. What does this mean and what happens next?
Well, you know, I have a lot of feelings for those who are here in this country. They're not going to go back to their own country. A lot of them are children who are now adults who never knew another country, the other country. And naturally, I would like to solve those problems. That's why I voted for the bill, the immigration bill out of the Senate. But there's no excuse for what the president has done here or what he thinks he's going to do or what he's announced he's going to do. There are laws. He said over at least 22 times that he had no authority to do that, that he it would be a violation of law for him to do that. It would be an expansion of the White House to do that, and yet he turns around and does that and then wonders why people are so upset. Now, to be honest with you, the judge down in Texas is probably right. But that's going to be immediately appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, I believe. And it'll be interesting to see what they decide about this. And if they decide that the lower court judge is right, or even if they decide he was not right, I suspect it's going to be appealed to the Supreme Court. And I think it's going to be very difficult for a majority of the judges, justices on the Supreme Court to find that the president acted within his constitutional powers. Look, the Constitution says that the laws are made by the legislative branch. And frankly, this president has just totally ignored that. And he's done it for the worst of reasons, for political reasons rather than basic humanitarian reasons.
What is that fine line, Senator? And I'll be very frank. I've struggled with it. You look at the you look at the executive orders over the years, going clear back to Lincoln. You go back to Franklin Roosevelt. You go to President Bush, President Reagan, and others. And I'm having a hard time determining what because some of those were very profound executive order. What was it, 9066, I believe.
Yeah, but in almost every case, they did executive orders after Congress had acted.
And so, what is that the fine line then? Because
well, it is a fine line because. There has to be some move by Congress. On the other hand, you know, if president can issue an executive order that basically gives 5 million people, 4 to 5 million people, the right to stay in this country with all the rights and privileges that American citizens have, then what is going to stop him from issuing other executive orders that go way beyond what a president is supposed to do? Somebody has to put a stop to this. I suspect the courts will do it, and it may very well be the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals and then on to the Supreme Court. But this president has acted unilaterally out of constitutional sync for a long time. It bothers me. You know, you want to support the president. You know, he's an interesting man, and he's an intelligent man. He's a handsome man. But I've never seen any president act as irresponsibly as he is acting. And the bad thing is this, and I'll do it this way. When I got here, Bob Byrd was the majority leader. Now, Bob Byrd was a very liberal Democrat. And we got into a big fight right off the bat on labor law reform, which he predicted I would lose. And everybody else did too, by the way, including myself.
Yeah.
But we won it by one vote. He hated my guts, but over the years, we became very good friends because I started to respect him for what he did because he would always stand up for the Senate. He would never let the White House get away with this type of stuff, even if it was a Democratic-controlled White House. He would not allow that, and that's the way the Constitution should run. Right now, there's hardly a Democrat in the Senate willing to stand up.
You know, I'm so glad you brought this up, Senator, because yesterday Frank Luntz was in town and he was speaking at the Alta Club. He's here with Senator Lee and he dropped by here and he was talking a lot about the things that the president was doing and how upset he was about some of them. And I asked the question, I said, why in the world is the Congress letting him or any other president why in the world is Congress rolling over for this?
Well, because the Democrats will not stand up. The Republicans would like to roll him, not to hurt the president, but to stop this type of irresponsible activity. And frankly, Frank Luntz is a great guy. He's a very, very intelligent pollster and political advisor. I think very, very highly of him. But I've got to tell you, the Democrats in the Senate are just not standing up like they should. And they're my friends, a lot of them. So I'm very disappointed in the fact that we can't together get together and stop this president from acting unilaterally in irresponsible ways.
The other thing, too, that is so sad about executive orders, I mean, if it's a temporary thing until whatever happens, but for something this profound that can be overturned, whatever, this president is only going to be in office for less than 3 years, and if Lincoln was concerned about that with various things that he had done, other presidents, and unless it finally becomes codified, unless it finally goes through and becomes actual law, it's in a state of flux.
It keeps us in a state of limbo, not knowing what to do, where to go, how to solve this problem. Presidential leadership should be for solving these type of problems, not by making them worse. And in this case, I have to admit, there are some people who are responsible on our side, in my eyes, who do not want to do anything to resolve this conflict that we have in our country on immigration. Look, those 10 to 13 million people, they're not going to go back to their countries. We should not expect them to go back to their countries. We should find some way of resolving these problems that is within the realm of law. And both Republicans and Democrats should come together. And if they don't, you've got a constant limbo situation here with the president who's been irresponsible with no real solution to the problem and with more and more people getting upset on both sides of the issue. I'd like to solve these problems. And, you know, interestingly enough, the House was prepared to go ahead with immigration laws, but they wanted to do it on a step-by-step bill-by-bill basis rather than one big bill like we did in the Senate. I think they would have done this, would have helped resolve this problem. The Senate bill was not perfect, but it did go a long way towards resolution of these problems, and I supported it. Of course, I amended it many times to make sure that it was better, but we need to have a president and a Congress that work together. And we don't have it right now.
Let's take a brief break. And, Senator, if you can stay for a few more minutes, I'd like to talk about tax code. I'd like to talk about balanced budget amendment and more. Senator Orrin Hatch with us on today's Doug Wright Show here at KSL.
The Doug Wright Show. Doug goes wall to wall when the news is breaking fast on KSL News Radio.
I never want to let some of the best part of the conversation that occurs off the air. Now, some is off the record, but what we can talk about. I have to tell you, Senator, I hadn't really brought it up, but as I look through the window and I see now the security that comes with you as President Pro Tem of the Senate and third in line for the presidency, it ain't quite the same as it used to be even just 6 months ago with you coming into our KSL studios.
I'm not even allowed to drive anymore. If anyone wants my car back there, it's in good shape. I want you to know.
I'll give you a good deal on it, all right?
You can. I think it'd be wonderful if you took it. But, yeah, it's a great privilege to be President Pro Tem, and I found that it's more than just a title. But we have these wonderful men who watch me, and they're with me day and night. When Elaine and I are back there, they're right outside all night long. Out here, they are outside. I might add that they inspect the home, they inspect the apartment, tell us what we need to do. And I don't know if we can afford doing what they think we ought to do to make the place is more secure, but they're really outstanding people who know what they're doing and have watched over others before.
Now, just between you and me, of course, does it take some getting used to?
I've gotten used to it real quick because I don't even have to worry about whether I know where the venue is where we're going. They already have it mapped out in advance, so I just turn it over to them. They fly with me. They do everything with me, and I've gained a real fondness for every one of them.
In the few moments we have left, let's talk about some of the tax issues. We've had several people. I mentioned that we'd be discussing various issues with you today, Senator, including your desire to really revamp, redo the tax code.
And yeah.
It's been interesting how many people have said, boy, ask the senator, is it not possible to just do away with deductions and have 12%, 10%, whatever it is? And one person even said, you know, it's good enough for the Lord. Can't we just pay the government 10%?
Well, you know, a lot of people would like a flat tax with you know, three levels of payment. The problem is that about 50% of the people in this country do not pay income taxes. They're retired people, people with disabilities, retired and disabled, service people.
Right.
And there are some who have gotten so that they can live off the pass-through monies that we give them. You know, we've made it so that it's, if you really know how to milk the federal government, you can make for a family sometimes upwards of $55,000 a year. So, you know, there's no incentive if, say, they had an opportunity to take a $75,000 a year job, because their marginal tax rate would be up around 80-90%. And so a lot of people just aren't going to work today, and you can't. I'm not upset with them. I'm just saying that the incentives are not there. And to be honest with you, the Democrats keep pushing this tax situation because they feel that all these people vote for them. They're wrong on that, because there are a lot of people in all of those categories who will vote Republican. But nevertheless, the upper 50% basically has to pay most everything. And it's hard to devise a system that, you know, that will work for them without losing all kinds of revenue. And the Democrats will always demand revenue, not revenue neutrality, they always demand more to spend. And you know, they're cutting back on the military regularly and demanding more to spend on social programs and so forth, which are, well, you know, when you have almost 80 job training programs, you've got all kinds of welfare programs, all kinds of programs where people can get money from the federal government. I mean, we've become a nation of people who aren't necessarily all working together to try and keep this country the greatest country in the world. I'm not criticizing anybody. Yeah. I can't blame people for doing what's in their best interests.
What is it going to take then to fairly significantly, if not radically, reform the taxing system within our country?
Well, between you and me, you know, I really wish we could do a consumption tax where you don't even have to fill out a return. You just pay. If you're going to buy a Cadillac, you're going to pay a lot more tax than if you don't. But the problem with that is it's so easy to shift that into a value-added tax where they can add taxes almost at will in government, and we don't need that. We're looking at a cash flow approach where you deduct whatever you spend as a business in the year that you spend it. And it's much more complex than that, but we're looking at every form of tax system that we can possibly look for. But we need to get a system that the incentives are to work, not to stay home.
Before we hit the bottom of the hour and run out of time, Senator, as far as the balanced budget amendment that's been talked about for as long as I can recall, it was in the Contract with America with Newt Gingrich and on and on. What do you see as the probability, and what would it take to actually get a balanced budget amendment?
Well, first of all, tax reform is not, you know, it's not a it's not something that we can avoid. We're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm dedicated to try and find a way to do it. And hopefully I'll be chairman long enough that we can get it done. It took 3 years, 3 to 4 years to do the 86 bill. So it's very complex. People are all over the map and all kinds of fighting and infighting and so forth. Well, I'm going to work on it and see what I can do. But the balanced budget amendment, we filed that, and we have every Republican on board. Now I'm going to try and see if I can get some Democrats to stand up and go on board with us. That balance, it's so important that we get something in law that will force the Congress to live within its means. You know, if you're talking about living within your means, first of all, we've got to look for a tax code that pushes growth. a tax code that is fair, one that is simple, not complex, one that has some permanence to us. The 86 bill has been amended so many times that it has no permanence. We have to have one that encourages competitiveness, promotes savings and investment, and one where we're not using it to raise more revenue, which is what the president wants to do with his suggestions. All of these are difficult. I'm hoping we can find enough Democrats on the Finance Committee to go with us on a reasonable approach and at least get this country back on its feet.
Senator, I always appreciate you joining us on the show, both on the phone, but especially here in person, especially now with the enhanced entourage, you know. So yeah. Thank you for taking the time to join us here on the Doug Wright Show.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you asking the question about the balanced budget amendment, because I'm convinced that's the only way we're ever going to get things under control. But unfortunately, it takes two-thirds vote in both houses to get done and three-quarters of the states. And that's not unfortunate. It's constitutional, but it's something that we're going to work on.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
Thanks for you, and we appreciate the way you conduct your interviews, and you cover a lot of materials, I'll tell you.
Thanks so much. Senator Hatch with us here at KSL News Radio.